There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its words. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Come on, everybody can sing it with me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Come on, everybody, sing that chorus with me. Oh, how I love, oh, how I love Him. Oh, how I love Jesus. One more time. Well, oh,
how I love Jesus.
Come on and oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus.
Because come on, somebody give the Lord a hand of praise today for the love that God has for you. Amen. Sometimes when you're in a relationship, you may feel a certain way about somebody and you hope they feel the same way about you. Some of you are old enough to remember before you could text the question, you would write it on a piece of paper and pass it to somebody and say, "Do you like me?" Check yes or no, you know, on the box. And you didn't want to say "I like you" before you say "you like me." And you sure didn't want to say "I love you" before somebody said they love you. But thanks be to God, we don't have that problem because He loved us first. Yeah. When we didn't have God on our mind, we were on His mind. And we're grateful today for His love. We greet you today in the grace, peace, joy, and love of God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Love to the family. Thank God for His love that we could share with one another. Come on, the Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. Everybody can make some noise in here. Come on. Come on, let's give a shout out to God. Let's thank God. If you can't say anything else, you ought to be able to say thank you, Jesus, just for life, health, and strength. We're grateful for God allowing our moments to roll on just a little while longer. I'm here to tell you, let me remind somebody, next level blessings will come with the next level devil. Amen. I'm just feeling like somebody, you've been through it this week. And I need you to know, so many times the devil can be a barometer for the blessings that are not only in your presence, but for the on the way blessings. Yeah, you remember Jesus in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. Long before He started healing people, long before miracles came, long before His death, burial, and resurrection, the devil tried to tempt Him in the wilderness. And it was because Not that Jesus was doing great things at the moment, because his earthly ministry was just about to get started. It's because the devil knew what he would do later on. And the devil said, if I'm going to stop him, I better stop him now. I better throw everything I got at him now before the blessings come. Now, you might be thinking I'm talking about the devil and Jesus, but I'm really talking about you and the devil. Because the devil sees many times in you what you don't see in yourself. He sees God anointed potential in your life. And he says, if I can discourage them right now, if I can depress her right now, if I can get her right now, then I can keep them from walking in what God has for them in the future. But how many of you know the devil is a liar? Come on, if you know the devil is a liar, make some noise if you know the devil is a liar. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Speaking of conquering, where's Frenay? Frenay, where are you, Frenay? Where is she? Stand up, Frenay. I want y'all to praise God. Frenay Chestnut, one of our deaconesses. No, hold on. I need y'all to hear this. Had brain surgery just a couple of weeks ago, and the Lord has healed her and brought her back, and she's here this morning. I know she doesn't like a fuss being made over her, but we're going to make a fuss over God and his healing power. Come on. Y'all thank God for Sister Frenay. Man, I want you to keep her in prayer. She's still under the doctor's watchful care, but it's just amazing what God can do and what modern medicine can do, and we certainly want to celebrate God and him moving and healing and blessing her in her life. I want you to keep in prayer the family of Sister Marcy Goodjet. Sister Jet went home to be with the Lord. She was part of our greeters ministry and part of the women's ministry. Just did a tremendous amount of things. She was such a blessing. She would greet you with a warm smile and a hug, a handshake, and we just encourage you in the Lord. And we're certainly praying for her daughter, Nikki, praying for their entire family, that God will bless them. We had her memorial service on last night, yesterday, and we're praying for her. We got to celebrate our true youth, our young people, many of them who are transitioning now in that approved moratorium on life called college. And they got care packages sent to them from our youth ministry. Deaconess Kimberly Smith and her team wanted to remind our children that they are loved even though they think they've grown now. Amen. And sent them the little care packages. I was sitting there thinking to myself, well, I wish I had gotten me some care packages. You know what I mean? Back in the day, I may want one even now, but we praise and thank God for our college students and the tremendous work that they're doing on college campuses around the country. Rooted and Grounded, make some noise! Man, we are so excited as we kick off week three. We kick off our prayer emphasis this week, and I decided that we're going to make this just a church-wide kickoff to challenge all of us to become more involved in prayer. You heard the earlier announcement. This week, our purpose-driven life groups have their prayer assignments. Rooted Group has their prayer assignments, but Rooted and Grounded, our overall church culture. Remember, every time the word church appears in the New Testament, it is never referring to a building. It is always referring to people. So I need you to know that when God talks about a praying church, he's talking about a praying people. You need to make a commitment to pray. And I want you to pray this week like you never have before. On your outlines, I've included our prayer guide on the last page to help you pray. And I want to challenge everybody who is under the sound of my voice, upstairs, downstairs, and those of you who are watching via the World Wide Web, thank you for the privilege of your time today. I want to encourage you to make a commitment this week to pray. Too many times, we don't really pray until something goes wrong in our lives. I want you to pray and develop the regular habit of spending time with God. And I'm asking everyone to take this week to spend at least 1 hour straight in prayer. Now, I want you to pray more than that, but I want you to pray at least 1 hour. We've given you the prayer acronym, right? The pray acronym, P-R-A-Y, praise, repent, ask, and yield. 15 minutes in each of those areas, and you can fluctuate those times and move those times around, but I want to get you to the place where you begin a concerted effort around prayer. And so please, ma'am, please, sir, if you're watching, you can download the outline for today's message. It's part of that message, and you can download it. This is the same prayer guide that we've used in the past, and we're going to continue to use moving forward, but I want you to take the time to pray. So whether you are in a life group or not, this session, you are still expected by the Lord to practice the spiritual discipline of prayer. So please, ma'am, please, sir, make that commitment to pray. We have some tremendous meetings coming up, and we'll continue to announce those, including our virtual prayer ministry and our virtual prayer altar, where we'll be praying for people around the world face to face via Zoom. Looking forward to God doing some amazing things through our prayer ministry. And shout out to our millennials as they are resetting their ministry. Millennials making a difference. And wanted to remind all of you who are part of that millennial generation that you are not the next church, you are the now church. And it's important for you to stand on our shoulders and become actively involved in this church, not only as a worker, but as a leader. And so we want you to make sure that you do that as soon as possible. Last but not least, oh, no, we got to celebrate our Rooted and Grounded life groups. You should be planning your service projects. We had some service projects going on this weekend with our Rooted and Grounded life groups. They were supporting the health and wellness ministry, bringing awareness to Black maternal health and the challenges that Black women have in giving birth to children. This event was held in partnership with the Harris County Health System. And you probably can't read the shirt. I don't know if you can. Can you read it? Black Mamas Matter. Yeah. And so we were happy to partner with them in this. All life groups you should have, if not already, make sure that you take care of your service projects. And next week we have our Salt and Light Ministry Fair. Next week, our Salt and Light Ministry Fair. Remember, our commitment is not to have church or come to church. Our commitment is to be church. We want to be the salt of the earth. We want to be the light of the world. That's where you find real value and purpose for your life in accordance with God's will for your life. And so we will do that next Sunday, immediately following our morning worship service at 8 and at 10. And we'll have 20 different partnering agencies here with us, and we'll have an internet online portal where another 100 ministries will be represented. And this is an opportunity for you who have life groups, for facilitators to sign up, but we also want you to sign up as an individual. It's not just once every 10 weeks that we expect you to be salt and light. The Lord has created you to be salt and light so that everywhere you go, you are the salt of the earth and you are the light of the world. So make sure you sign up and get ready for our Salt and Light Ministry Fair. Let's go to God in prayer and ask God's blessings on our time today. Father, we thank you and we bless you for this time. We pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Speak now, Lord, and may we hear from you. And in hearing from you, may we do what you have commanded us to do, so we can become all you want us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most important activities that you will engage in, one of the most powerful and impactful spiritual disciplines that you will need to learn how to practice in your life on a day-to-day basis is the spiritual discipline of prayer. Jesus told us in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." Prayer ought to be a daily part of the Christian existence. Somebody has said, if you really want to convict a Christian as to how good a Christian they are or aren't, ask them, when's the last time they witnessed to somebody? When's the last time they prayed? And you can add a third one, how they doing on their giving? Let's just talk about prayer today. What should we be praying for? What should be marking our prayer existence? How do you even know if God is really answering your prayers? How often do you pray? What drives you to pray? When do you pray? See, beyond praying for something, beyond praying for something specific and seeing the answer to that prayer, my question to you is, how do you know that if and when you pray, your prayer is being answered? Today, I want to share with you what is called a topical expositional message around the idea of praying, and I want to talk to you from the thought, five purposes for prayer. Five purposes for prayer. This week is prayer week at Good Hope. I want to challenge you and all of our listeners to make a concerted effort to pray like never before. For some of you, this commitment to prayer is going to be new. For some of you, I'm just reminding you of a commitment you already made that you might have gotten slack on. You see, here's the truth of the matter. We know what we should do, and we can lock into doing the right thing, but things happen in life that will distract us, and before we know it, we're not praying like we used to pray. And for somebody else, prayer for you is like a 911 call. You use it when a crisis occurs, but it's not a number you call every day of your life. But Paul says that we should pray constantly, that we should pray consistently, that we should always be praying. So if we should always be praying and I'm not in a crisis, then what and why should I pray? If I should always be praying, but I don't have a catastrophe that typically drives me to pray, what should I be praying about? When I pray, I typically pray because I want God to do something or give me something, and I don't want anything and I don't need God to do anything right now, then why should I be praying? Five things I want you to see as we look at the purposes for prayer. This list is not exhaustive. This list is not in order of importance, but it is intended to give you some information as to what should be driving and guiding your prayer life. Here's the first thing. Number one, a purpose for prayer is to help you acknowledge and access the power of God for your life. A purpose for prayer is to help you acknowledge and access the power of God for your life. Luke 21, verse 36, "But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." Matthew 26, verse 41 says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I was teaching a class not long ago, and I made a statement that initially shocked some of the students. I was talking to pastors and church leaders, and I said, we have to help both sinners and saints reprioritize God at the center of their lives. Now, they had no problem acknowledging that sinners need to put God at the center of their life. But they did struggle initially at first about the statement to help saints reprioritize God at the center of their lives. The truth of the matter, my brother and sister, is that the overwhelming majority of us, when we get God at the center, see God moved out of the center and have to experience a reset to get God back where he needs to be in our lives. Everybody say reset. We've got to experience a reset. Now, some of us need a soft reset. Some of us need a hard reset. Some of us need a soft reset where we just turn the phone off and turn it back on. Some of us need a hard reset where we get the battery and take the battery out and replace the battery and experience that kind of reset. Here's what we need to understand when it comes to prayer. Most people, both saints and sinners, live their lives according to the flesh. Matter of fact, those of us who are saved think we have an even greater obligation or a greater opportunity to live according to our flesh, because after all, we save now. And since the things I used to do, I don't do anymore, at least not as much. And the places I used to go, I don't go anymore, at least not as much. And the things I used to say, I don't say anymore, at least not as much. And I'm doing better in my flesh, then somehow I have the idea that I can trust in my flesh even more. And what the writer wants you and I to understand is, as children of God, listen, our flesh, whether we are saved or unsaved, will fail us. That's why you typically don't pray until you get to the end of your rope. You pray typically after you've done everything you can do, called everybody you can call, used every resource you can have, and every trick up your sleeve. And then when none of that works, you say, Lord, if I ever needed you before, I'm going to pray. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the person next to you. And then they get to a place where if God doesn't move and answer that sincere prayer, now we got to get to that desperate prayer. We got to get to that sure enough prayer where we're crying and hollering out to God. And if that prayer doesn't work, then we remember, wait a minute, hold, Jesus says some things only come by fasting and praying. Now I got to fast and pray. But it's typically on the other side of a catastrophe, chaos, confusion, calamity. It's not a regular activity in our lives. Like, when's the last time you fasted and prayed just to talk to God? Just to spend time with God? No crisis. Just want to spend time with God. See, it's in prayer that you acknowledge and access divine power when your flesh runs its course. Here's the second thing. Number two, a purpose for prayer is to deepen your fellowship with God. A purpose of prayer and for prayer is to deepen your fellowship with God. Exodus 33, verse 11. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Moses spoke to God face to face. There was communion. There was fellowship there that wasn't built around what Moses needed as much as it was a fellowship with God to know God better, to get closer to God. Let's be honest. Most of us, when we think about praying, we think about praying in terms of what we want, what we need, what we desire, not just to spend time with God. My daughter and I had a talk some years ago because it seemed like every time I talked to her, she wanted something. It just didn't matter. Like, she just didn't call just to call. She would call, "Daddy." Okay, that's that I need some money sound. Yeah. "No, I just want you, no, can you just loan me?" Now, you already know when your child asks for a loan. Y'all understand, right? And after about the third or fourth time, I said, "Baby girl, I said, yeah, you know I love you. You know you're my only daughter. You know you're my favorite daughter." She said, "But Daddy, I'm your only daughter." I said, "No, but that doesn't matter. You're still my favorite daughter. You're my favorite." I said, "But Daddy needs to hear from you more often than when you need something. Just call and just check on me. Check on the old man. Just, hey, Dad, how you doing? What you doing? What's going on? Let's get together sometime. Just have lunch sometime. Just talk. Let's have some adult conversation beside I need something." And she did. She did. She does a great job. She'll call me now and say, "Daddy, how you doing? What's going on?" And I'll get two or three calls like that, and then I get the... No. But here's my point. My point is that why do we think God only wants to hear from us when we want something? God wants to have fellowship with us and wants to deepen that fellowship with us. One of the laments in my life is that I look back over men who impacted my life and touched my life in such a powerful way, and I was so busy trying to achieve something and accomplish something that I never took the time to really spend time with them and get to know them. And all of us can think back to people like that in our lives. Parents or mentors or grandparents that you wish you could go back now and just sit there and just have a conversation with them. God says, "I want to have deep fellowship and communion with you, and I don't want it just around when you want something. You call, you talk, you ask, you beg, you plead, and then you say in Jesus' name and then hang up the phone." Hebrews 10, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through faith, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith and with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." God says, let's experience close fellowship, not because of what you do, but because of what Jesus has already done. And the door is open for you to come in and have close communion and fellowship with God. Here's a third purpose for prayer. A purpose for prayer is for you to learn how to receive God's blessings in your life. Now, for some of you, I just rang your bell. You said, "Okay, Pastor, now you preaching. How can I be blessed in my prayer? I need God to answer some prayers." Watch what James says in James chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. "You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions." James says you've got two problems with your prayer life, child of God. And let me show you what James says you shouldn't do, and then I'm going to show you what you should do. James says, first and foremost, you do not have, verse 2, B part, because you do not ask. He says, you want, but somehow you've confused wanting with praying. He says, just because you want it and you're a child of God doesn't mean God is obligated to give it to you. He says, you're not praying. So A, You need to pray. You need to pray. If you want to have a chance to have God answer your prayer, guess what you got to do? You got to pray. And most of you under the sound of my voice don't pray like you should. You pray for crisis. You pray for catastrophe. You pray in the midst of difficulties. And God says, no, you're not praying over the basic stuff. You're trying to figure out how you're going to make it happen. Instead of praying and asking God to make a way. But then James says, here's a second problem. See, you got a problem because you're not praying, but then you got a second problem. You don't know how to pray. You don't even know, watch this, not so much what to pray for, but you don't understand that when you pray, God is checking out the motives behind your prayer. So watch what he says. He says, three, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. So he says, you do not pray, and when you do pray, you pray incorrectly. So I told you, A, you need to pray, and B, you need to pray correctly. You need to pray correctly. You pray wrong when you pray for the wrong thing or you pray for the wrong reason. And when you pray wrong, your prayer misses the mark every time. That's why James 4:3, the New King James translation, I love it. It says, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. James says, you praying and you want to be blessed by God, and God wants to bless you. He says, but here's what the problem is. God knows if he blesses you because you praying for the wrong reason, you'll end up at the wrong place. You'll end up doing the wrong thing because your prayer is not motivated by the right reason. People who come into windfall money, like athletes, for example, they sign a multi-million-dollar check, and then you will sit there and you'll hear about all the escapades of this athlete and, you know, how they blowing money in strip clubs and how they blowing money in drugs and family and all this stuff. Man, just blowing millions of dollars. And you're like, man, how could they do that? And somebody said one time, he said, man, nah, you know, money will change you. No, money won't change you. It'll just reveal the fool you already are. Yeah, money will reveal who you couldn't afford to show the world you already were. See, you just couldn't afford to be that stupid. You couldn't afford to be that foolish in public. You know, sin goes to another level when you can afford to take sin to another level. And some of you, God says, no, I can't bless you. Because you're praying with the wrong motives. And you don't want to do the right thing. And watch this. The windfall that you're praying for, the new position that you're praying for, I'm getting ready to knock on somebody's door, the new position that you're praying for that's going to give you X number amount of money more than you have right now, the problem is you haven't learned how to honor God with what you have. Your character is not where it needs to be. And God doesn't want to take you anywhere in your bank account that your character can't handle. God says, no, no. If I bless you like you want to be blessed, he says you will be the most ungodly, ungrateful person you've ever been. You won't get closer to me. You move further away from me. God says you've been praying and asking amiss. God says, I want to help you. I want to help you to receive my blessings, but I can't bless you knowing that the blessing is going to hurt you in the long run. Here's the fourth thing. Number four, a purpose for prayer is to teach you to care about others. A purpose for prayer is to teach you to care about others. Verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Making supplication for all the saints. Underline that phrase, making supplication for all the saints. That is a sincere and dedicated prayer on behalf of other people who are in need. Colossians 4, beginning at verse 2, let's read it together. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. When was the last time you prayed for somebody you didn't know? When was the last time you prayed for somebody else? When was the last time you prayed for somebody you didn't like? When was the last time you prayed for somebody that did you wrong? Jesus even gives us that model on the cross. Look at Luke 23, verse 34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. Too many of our prayers are me, myself, and I. Too many of your prayers are selfish, self-centered, egocentric, about what you want God to do for you, and you are not selfless in your prayer to even mention somebody else in your prayer. Our late pastor emeritus, Dr. Crawford Kimball, I called him to ask him to come and preach at the church. And he told me, he said, "Pastor," he said, I retired from preaching." And I said, "That's impossible." I said, "You couldn't have retired, because if you're going to retire from preaching, the last sermon you ever preached has to be at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. You gave 14 years of your life at the church as an associate minister, 30 years as a pastor. And at that time, it was just at 20 years as pastor emeritus." I said, "You've been affiliated with this church 64 years, over half of your life." I said, "The last sermon you ever preached has to be here at the Good Hope Church, Pastor." And he said, "Well, let me pray and let me see if the Lord will give me strength." And I said, "Well, while you're praying, let me tell you the sermon I want you to preach." I said, "Now, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I know the Lord may tell you something different, but I do have a request I want to make." It's a classic that he preached out of the Lord's Prayer, the Gospel of Matthew, right in the middle of the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. And title of the sermon is "Us is Prayer." "Us is Prayer." Dr. Kimball started off talking about the colloquialisms of our foreparents who had mother wit, had great sense, even if they didn't have a great command of the King's English. And there were times that they would communicate and they would not conjugate subjects and verbs properly. They would not use proper pronouns. They would say "us" instead of "we." They would say "are" instead of "is." He said, "But you got the message," when they got through talking. And he talked about the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Here it is. "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not." And he said, the problem in too many of our prayers is we're praying "I" instead of "us." And there needs to be an usness in our prayer life. We don't pray for one another near as much as we want somebody to pray for us. We don't go to God in prayer asking God to bless somebody else. More times than not, we're praying asking God to bless us. And if we pray for somebody else, we're praying for God to get them and not to bless them. So we got to learn that in our prayer life, we care for others. We're not selfish in our prayers. We're praying for people. We should be praying for people who need Jesus to come and know Jesus. I asked you before, let me ask you again. You put together your list of people you're praying for, people who need the Lord, whether it's family members or friends or co-workers or neighbors or associates. You ask God to bless them and ask God to help them come to know Jesus. You literally go to God in prayer on their behalf. And then trust God to give you the opportunity, listen carefully, to be the answer to the prayer you've been praying. Because that's what God will do. You pray for somebody to come to know Jesus, and that person will come to you and say, "How do I know Jesus?" And you'd be like, "You know, I was just praying that, but I didn't know I was praying for God to give me the chance." And God says, "Yeah, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be the answer to your own prayers." Here's the fifth and final thing. Number five, a purpose for prayer is to help you become the person God wants you to be. A purpose for prayer is to help you become the person God wants you to be. Most of us pray to God to get something from God. We don't pray to become what God wants us to be. We pray, "God, if I ever needed you before, I sure do need you now. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If you, Lord, I need you to come through right now in the name of Jesus. I need you to come through, Lord." And we want God to come and do something for us, but we don't pray and ask God to do something to us. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 9. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We're praying, trying to persuade God, trying to move God. We treat God as if he is our cosmic concierge, on call to do whatever we want him to do, whenever we want him to do it. And Paul shows us in Colossians that when you pray, you ought to be praying for God to do something to you and not just praying for God to do something for you. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, let's read it together. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him." I want to challenge you this week to pray that God will help you to walk in obedience. Obedience to his word, obedience to his will, and obedience to his way. That you would pray that God will help you to fulfill your potential in Jesus Christ. That you won't pray so much for stuff that you start praying, asking God to give you wisdom, asking God to give you grace, asking God to give you the love that you need to have to help somebody else who needs him to know him and help people who know him to grow in him. Ask God in prayer to use you to make a difference in the world and make a difference in the lives of people. And when you start praying and asking God to do something to you, you better position yourself to allow God to do something through you. And you'll allow God to get glory from your life like never before. Men and women ought always to pray and not faint. Paul says, pray without ceasing. Pray constantly. And make sure you have the right purpose behind your prayers. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. I pray, God, that somebody would leave here today challenged to re-examine their prayer life, to move their prayer life from a crisis response to actually day-to-day living, that they would seek you, to walk with you in a closer way, to know you in a better way, so that we can become more like you. Where preaching and prayers have fallen short, God, we ask you to make up the difference and touch as only you can. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let the people of God say amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise.